Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
We all fall short. I would say that hopefully, if that is the case, and my sinfulness is taken into account, that I would hope that Jesus paid the total price for my sins. That's what gives me rest. That's what I hope gives you rest, an assurance that all your sins were paid for. But is that the way it is for the member of the Mormon church? Sadly, it's not. It isn't. James Faust, who was a member of the First Presidency, that's in the top echelon of Mormon leadership. There are three guys that are the top three men. This First Presidency are given the authority to speak on doctrinal issues and to speak for the church. James Faust was a member of the First Presidency before he passed away several years ago. But this is what he said. The atonement advances our mortal course of learning by making it possible for our natures to become perfect. All of us have sinned and need to repent to fully pay our part of the debt. Our part of the debt. When we sincerely repent, he says, the Savior's magnificent atonement pays the rest of that debt. Do you understand the impact of those words? If we must repent to pay our part of the debt, then that means our part of the payment is to stop sinning. Because that's what true repentance is. But you ask any Latter-day Saint if they've done that, they'll tell you no. And they'll say, well, that's why we have the atonement. And I go, wait a minute. The atonement has no effect on you until you've done this part. That's when it becomes efficacious. That's when it has an effect in your life. You must do your part, and then Jesus pays the rest of that debt. Mormons don't believe that on the cross that Jesus paid for all of our sins. Your sins were paid for, past, present, and future. Mormons look at it as, no, he pays for your sins up until the point you've actually asked for forgiveness and proved yourself worthy of it. And if that's really all it is, I would say, big deal. You take the story, for instance, when Jesus was preaching in Capernaum and they lowered the crippled man through the ceiling. Jesus did what? He didn't heal the man right away. He said his sins were forgiven. If Jesus merely meant that his sins were forgiven up until that point and then no further, I would go, so? Give me 5 minutes. And I'll screw up again. Give me 10 maybe on a good day. So what? The magnificence of the atonement is that all of our sins are forgiven. It was complete. It was a full payment, not a partial payment. Charles Spurgeon made this comment, and I think it's so appropriate to this topic. He said, when Christ redeemed his people, he did it thoroughly. He did not leave a single debt unpaid, nor yet one farthing for them to settle afterwards. God demanded of Christ the payment for the sins of all his people. Christ stood forward and to the utmost farthing paid whatever his people owed. The sacrifice of Calvary was not a part payment. It was not a partial exoneration. It was a complete and perfect payment. And it obtained a complete and perfect remittal of all the debts of all believers that have lived, do live, or shall live to the end of time. That's something worth having. That is an incredible thing to have. In the Ensign magazine, the Mormons were given this article, Plain and Precious Truths Restored. It came out in October of 2006, page 50. And this is what they were told. The perfect relationship between the atoning grace of Christ and the obedient efforts of mankind is powerfully stated by Nephi, a character in the Book of Mormon. We know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. Furthermore, we are invited to come unto Christ and be perfected in Him when we deny ourselves of all ungodliness. Then and only then is His grace sufficient for us. You wonder, when we talk to our Mormon neighbors, they may appear very happy on the outside, but if you were to ask them, in a vulnerable moment, ask them, if you were to die right now, do you have the assurance that all your sins are forgiven and that you would get the best your religion has for you? I will guarantee you they will balk at the question. They will not answer with a very strong affirmative. Absolutely. You ask me that question? I hope if I asked you that question, absolutely. Absolutely. I said that to a man one time, and he said I was the most arrogant person he had ever met. I can understand that coming from his worldview. Because for me to say absolutely, in his thinking, he's thinking that I have done something that he knows he could never do. And that is to deny himself of all ungodliness, as it says in the Book of Mormon, he must do. But that's not what I'm saying. You see, the reason why we can say that and not be ashamed to say it, the reason we can say that without any sense of arrogance, is because it has nothing to do with us and our accomplishments. It has everything to do with the accomplishments of Jesus. I like to kind of throw Mormons off a little bit when they, and I'll say, I believe I'm saved by works. They go, well, I've never heard evangelicals say that before. No, I believe I'm saved by works. I believe I'm saved by the works of Jesus, not mine. It's by His works, not mine. What am I going to add to this? Think about this, folks. If you were saved by your works, then that means everything that you would do in order to, quote-unquote, honor God would be motivated by your own selfishness. Is that really a good work? You're doing it for yourself. You're selfish. Christianity is really the only religious faith in the entire world where you have the potential of doing a work wholly to the glory of God. Now, do we do that? Probably not a lot, if any, because we are basically sinful people looking for brownie points. Oh, if I do this, Jesus is just going to be so happy with me. Well, now, what did you do it for then? To get your own glory. But in Mormonism, consider this. Everything they do is for their own glory. Because if they don't do it, they don't get it. That's what's tragic about it. That's why it's not considered to be a Christian faith. It may have the certain look of Christianity. It may even, in its language, have some of the language of Christianity. But basically, it cannot be Christianity. Let me close with this statement from Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards said, "How they dishonor God and the gospel who depend on anything else but mere grace. The gospel is far the most glorious manifestation of God's glory that ever was made to man. And the glory of the gospel is free grace and free mercy. Now those that will not depend on this free grace, they do what they can to deprive the gospel of this glory and sully the glory of God therein shining forth. They take away the praise, glory, and honor that is due to God by His free grace and mercy to men and set up themselves as the objects of it, as if their salvation, at least partly, was owing to what they have done." We are compelled, folks, to come to the foot of the cross, realizing that there is absolutely nothing that we can do, nothing that we can add to to what Jesus has already done on behalf of his people. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress or seen the film, what is that dramatic scene where he finally, Pilgrim comes to the foot of the cross, and what happens? The burden falls off his back. That's the only way it's going to happen. It has to be done through the foot of the cross. And this is why when we talk to Latter-day Saints, so many of them have no assurance whatsoever as to where they are going to go when they die. Oh, if you were to ask them, will you go to heaven? They'll say yes, because there's one of three heavens they could end up. And they know they're going to go to one of them. But ask them if they know for sure their sins are forgiven. And there is the huge question mark. If that's the case, then we have to ask, well, what kind of faith do you really have in Jesus if you don't believe that he's taken your sins and forgiven them? What kind of faith do you really have? The faith that he merely existed? I mean, you have to be the biggest fool in the world to think Jesus didn't exist. Of course he existed. I just finished reading a book written by an atheist archaeologist all about Jesus' final days. This atheist believes Jesus lived. There's no doubt about that. And anyone who says he didn't is just, they have to be willfully ignorant to want to believe that. Certainly he is a figure in history. But so what if he just existed? Don't the demons even believe he existed? So if you just want to believe that he existed, I could say that maybe your faith is just a demonic faith, because that's what they had. No, you have to believe he did something for you. That is what New Testament faith is all about. That he did something for you. And what did he do? He bore our sins upon that cross for us. And we rest in the promise because of that act and the promises of his word that we know for a fact that when we die, everything has been taken care of. And if you don't have that assurance, it's not that difficult to get it. It's just a matter of believing what he did and what he said. That's what our burden is when we live in Utah, is to present this message to the Mormon people. It can be difficult sometimes because a lot of people want to trust in their own works. You know, they're out there drowning in the middle of the ocean, and you're throwing that life preserver of grace, and they're pushing it away, saying, no thanks, I'll swim on my own. What a tragic, tragic situation that is. But yet we see it so often. And sadly, so many of them die in that situation. They die in that situation.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.